So to continue on today is I'm going to go into the series that we've been in about light. And Caleb shared last week, I'm going to pick up, this is week two, pick up where he left off. But he shared the process of God creating light and how that parallels the work of the Holy Spirit in us when God makes us a new creation. He talked about being guided by the light, and there are those that need, that are disoriented and need direction. I don't know if you're quick to own when you're disoriented and need direction. Anybody out there? Like, you're like, I'll stop and ask for direction, no problem, or consult Siri, you know, whatever you do. But some of us are slower to ask for directions, aren't we? But we are in this life and we need to stop. We can be a follower of Christ and still need, in times in our life, a sense of like reorientation and direction. There's also those that have are dedicated but need encouragement, and those that are dim that need brightening. And that's where we ended last week. And I want to pick up today in John chapter 8, verse 12. I know there's notes if you want notes for the sermon today. If you raise your hand, if you didn't get one when you came in, they're going to, our host team is here to pass them out and they'll get one to you. But let's just pick up in John 8. Now, Jesus, to give you a little context here, just ministered to a woman who was caught in the very act of adultery. And there are people there to, they wanted to trap Jesus, of course, and trap her and just expose the sin. But when Jesus, it says, spoke again to the people. So he had been in the middle of teaching. This time was like really more of an interruption, although he ministered greatly to her. And then he spoke again to the crowd he had been teaching to. And it says, when Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How many of you out there have ever tried to walk in the dark? I mean, some of us, we do it almost every night when we get up to go to the bathroom, right? Like, some of us were like, we're good. I know my area. I know, you know, but some of us, we are still know we need to turn the lights on. We're wise in that way. I think I've gotten hurt enough in my life to realize that light is my friend. Light is your friend. Okay. I know when I was a child, you know, we roamed the neighborhood. I mean, like, it was our hood. You know, those days, my parents really, we had TV, but it really was, like, connected to any kind of cable, you know? We go months without TV. So we're outside playing. We're outside riding our bikes. And we lived really on a circle. So it was really a true block. And we would spend time just circling our neighborhood. Like, literally, we would go run around it, we ride our bikes around it, and I had been around my neighborhood hundreds, if not thousands of times, you know, and I was riding my bike, and we have an area in this circle that's called the Big Hill. Now, it was named the Big Hill with all the kids in the neighborhood because why? Because it stands out from among the small hills in the area, right? It was the biggest one that you could ride your bike down. This is the hill that you avoid when you're first learning to ride. You don't even steer near it. You know, you kind of just turn away and go the other way. This is, so you get old enough, you get awesome enough, you go down the Big Hill. Well, I had conquered the Big Hill, right? Like, I mean, I've got a 10 speed, you know, like I'm cool, you know? And so 10 speeds were cool back in the day. Remember the day you got a 10 speed? You went from just a little like other bike to a 10 speed? I got 10 speed for Christmas. So I'm riding my bike, and I'm at the top of the hill, and suddenly a bug flies in my eye. And you know how many thoughts you can have just in a few seconds in decision process? I mean, the brain really, like, amazes me. Like, it just, like, so I'm thinking, this is my area. This is my neighborhood. I am, like, so familiar with this area. I don't even have to ride down this hill with my eyes open. Like, no, I don't need to stop and get this bug out. I can just close my eyes. Yeah, it's daylight out, but I can just close my eyes, go into darkness, and speed down this hill and deal with a bug when I'm at the bottom. This is my territory. This is my hood. I know it like the back of my hand, you know? And so here I go, speeding down the Big Hill, wind blowing in my hair, because we didn't wear helmets back then, right? You know, whoo, and you're picking up speed. I'm like, yes, this is awesome. Eyes closed, to crash into a parked car, flip off my bike, and still have a bug in my eye. Now, you think I would have learned at some point, right? Like, no, but I get to my teenage years, and I still think, like, I can do things in the dark, and it's okay. You know? I'll be okay. You know, we had gone down to Fresno for our state meet for cross country, and we had made it as teenagers, and so the hotel was just full of teenagers there for the meet. And have you ever been in a hotel with, you know, hundreds of teenagers? There's a lot of shenanigans going on, you know, right? Like, there's, you know, doorbell ditching, you know, the cute guys are finding the cute girls and knocking on their doors, and it's just constant chaos, you know, at night. And so people, I guess we were cute or something, because they kept coming to our door, you know, and knocking and going away. And, you know, it's the middle of the night, and we have a race the next day. I mean, early the next day for a teenager, you know, early in the morning. Anything in the morning's early. And so we had to get, you know, some sleep. And so I kept going to the door. I was the one to go to the door and then, like, go back to bed. I kept seeing who it was and going, you know, like, maybe it was a friend. We could hang out. So I'm thinking, this is the last time, like, you know, go to the door. I don't need to turn the lights on this time. I can just run and dive onto my bed and just go back to sleep. So literally, I pick up speed from the front door, you know, down the little hallway, and I literally jump in the air to dive onto my bed, only to meet the corner of the wall that I forgot there's a closet alcove there. Oh, owie. Owie, owie, owie. I think there might still be a dent somewhere in my, you know, skull if they ever do it. But I did have a nice scab the next day, proof of my running in the dark. I mean, I'm sure you have your stories too. I mean, as an adult even, you know, I put a box in the middle of the hallway thinking I remember that the box is there. And I'm groggy at night and I go walking through the hallway with the lights off and my little toe catches the corner of the box. Kink. And it's going the direction it shouldn't go. You know, sideways. That's not the way you're supposed to face. It's supposed to be like that, you know. And so I almost pass out everything. I have to do an ER visit in the middle of the night so they can reset the bone, right, and put it back in place. And, you know, all because I think I can move in the dark and walk in the dark. But I feel like some of us were like this, where all of us are like this, that we think we can move in the dark and be okay. But we have to recognize that light is a wonderful thing. God is the God of light. He is the light of life. And the good news is he has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. It's marvelous. So we were called to more than just experience his light. What are we called to? We're called to begin to be emitters of that light. People that literally glow with the same presence, same power, same anointing that he has. Now let's read in Matthew 5, 14 through 16. This is where Caleb left off last week. In verse 14, it says, "You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." So today, I really have in my heart to share a series of four questions as we go on this journey through these few verses. The first question for today is, have you been lit? Have you been lit by God? You may be here like this lamp. You look pretty good, but there's still something missing on the inside. All the wiring's there, all the abilities there, but it's not alive. Have you been lit yet? Only God can light us, really, truly light us. I know as a child, God would try to come and he would try to light me. And I remember being so aware of his presence as times in my childhood that he would come close, and our God is a consuming fire, so what he touches actually ignites with fire. And so he would come close to me, and I'd be in a church service, or I'd be at home, and suddenly he'd visit with his presence, and suddenly I'd feel that spark stirring inside of me, something awakening inside of me, and it'd be like, oh, it's almost there, but then I'd blow it out. Or I hear him calling to me in the dark, like I was sleeping. Rachel. But I was asleep on the inside. I didn't really want to wake up just yet. You know, some of us, we like our sleep. I don't want to wake up and come to the light just yet. And he would call to my soul. He would call to me until I was 16 years old, where I had this just absolute visitation of God, where he called so strong and he ignited something in me that it was no longer a spark I could blow out anymore. But it became a flame inside of me that burned so bright. And now, instead of blowing it out, I add fuel to that fire. Have you been lit yet by God? It's like what 2 Corinthians 4:6 says. That God, what did he do in the beginning? He commanded that light should shine out of darkness. And he made his light shine into our hearts. He made something come alive. If you haven't been lit yet, it's time that you get ignited by him. You realize when you're lit that you weren't really even living before, that you weren't even really alive before, don't you? Once you get lit and you come into that, you're just like, where have I been my whole life? What have I been doing? I've been sleeping this whole time, but now I'm awake, I'm alive. He makes me come alive in his light, because the light of life has ignited us. We were blind before to his goodness. We were blind before to his love. But what can God do? Just like he can command light in the darkest of places, he can command light of the goodness, the knowledge of who he is into your heart today. He wants to light you. He wants to set you on fire. Have you been lit? Oh, my light's out. Oh, wait, power. Thank you. Second question today, where is your light set? Not only have you been lit, but where is your light set? It has to be set where it's seen. This is what we read here. The provision of light was for what? For everyone in the house, all in the city, and all in the world. It was for not just one people group, not just one age group, not just one generation, but it was for everyone at all times. Once you're lit up, it's for everyone around you. I mean, just think about what the angels cried to the shepherds when Jesus was born. What did they cry out to them? They said, "We bring good tidings of great joy that will be for what? For all people." They're like, this is not just for one specific generation. This is not just for like, oh yeah, in the 50s there was a lot of light, or back, yeah, in Jesus' day there was supposed to be a lot of light. No, he wants to light you so much that you become a light to all around you, every person. So our mission then is to enlighten the sphere in which we are placed. Where has God placed you? Where has he put you? Where do you live? That's the place that light is to shine. You know, we don't just exist for our own sake. I feel like sometimes we forget and we get caught up in ourselves a little bit. We get caught up in just focusing on me and my needs. And we forget that I'm not just here for Rachie. I'm not just here. That's what Caleb calls me and my family calls me. I'm not just here for self. But I'm here for a benefit. When God lights me, I'm here for the world's sake. This is a great, healthy reminder, especially in this season, Christmas season, that I'm not just here to be a consumer. I'm here to be a contributor. I'm here to give, to learn to invest in others, to learn to influence others. I'm here to learn what it is to carry his heart. Those who are light, they're not in hiding. They're giving out the grace, the gifts that they have inside. The glory that they have inside is shining through them. So what's in you today? What's in you? What kind of light is in you that needs to come out? I tell you, it's like ooey, gooey goodness that needs to come out. Oh, come on. Tell somebody next to you, you got some ooey gooey goodness in you. The ooey gooey goodness of God in you needs to come out. What do you mean ooey gooey? I mean, you're like a Christmas treat. You're like, sometimes you look at a Christmas treat and you're like, not so sure about that. I mean, I've received fruitcake before and I'm like, not so sure about that. But then I taste it, I'm like, ooh, yummy. And the crunchy things and little sweet things, and it's sticky and it's yummy, and it's like, wow. Yeah, I admit, I like fruitcake, okay? So, and I am a little fruity, so it all goes together. It's all good. And some of us are like, ooh, look at that powdered sugar delight. Mmm. And we go and we taste it and we're wearing all black and we get the powdered sugar all over us and the residue is just still there. And even after we eat, we need a napkin and we got to wipe it off and it's on our lips. And, you know, people are like pointing to the side and, you know, or you eat something gooey and chocolatey and it dribbles down your chin a little bit. And, you know, good friends tell friends when they've got stuff on their face, just saying. So I count you a good friend when you tell me. Okay. So please. Yeah. There's stuff in your teeth, you know, like just, chocolatey goodness, and it's sticking to your fingers. And what do you want? You want to go back for more. You want to go back for more. See, when you release the ooey gooey goodness of the light of God, people are going to be like, oh, I'm not so sure about that. But then they taste it and they're like, oh, I got to come back for some more. It doesn't just rub off so easy. It influences and touches. Now, when you light a lamp, you don't light it to hide it. You're a city set on a hill. There's no hiding me. You're now set to a place of an elevated position. Get this. He says you light the lamp and then you set it on a hill or you set it on a stand. You elevate it. It was once down here, but once it's lit, it's up here. It's a new level. And I tell you, that's what happens when God lights you. He takes you to a different level. He takes you to a different place. He takes you to a higher place, a new territory. And there he sets you. And it's not that you can be there and gloat and be like, oh, I'm awesome. I'm on the hill. Or I'm so awesome. I'm on the stand. But why are you there? To release his goodness. To shed light for the whole world. You know, there's really no hiding what's in you, is there? That's what he's saying here. Is a light that's lit and set up high. There's no hiding what's in you. It comes out. It seeps out in everything you do. When you're a true follower of Christ, it seeps out in the way that you talk to people. It seeps out in the way that you perform your job. How honest you are at work and how what a good work ethic you carry there. And it seeps out in the way that you love your spouse and the way that you treat and talk to your children. And it just seeps out in the way that you don't hold grudges and you forgive people even when they sin against you. It seeps out in the way that you laugh at things, but then, or you don't at certain things. It seeps out in the way that you have compassion where other people don't have compassion. It just keeps flowing out because even if the door's shut and there's a light on behind that door, it finds cracks and it works its way out. And there's even like, you know how it is. You walk down your hallway and there's a door, the light's on behind the door and it's glowing. I tell you, Christ is glowing in you. He's seeping out through the cracks in your life, the things in your life. You're not to be under a basket, the scripture said, but to be put on a stand. You're not to be in a place that's below, not in the shadows, not in the background, not underneath, not in the back seat, but you're to be placed out front. He's not ashamed of you. I feel like some of us are lit by God, and this sense of shame comes over that the enemy puts there where he says, no, he doesn't really want you to shine. Your light's not as pretty as somebody else's light. Or your light's little, like, you know, maybe we should just blow that out. The enemy wants to come and put shadows over our life. doesn't he? He wants to come and bring doubt over our light and put things there and fear and unbelief and have us walk in a place of shame. But I want to tell you today, God is not ashamed of you. Actually, Hebrews tells us that he says, I'm not ashamed to call you brothers. I'm not ashamed to call you part of my family. He's not ashamed of you. The truth is, when you walk toward the sun, you never travel in shadows. This is the truth. When you walk towards the sun, the shadows fall behind you. When you walk towards the sun or with the Son of God, you'll never be in darkness because you will face the light and all the shadows, all the shame, all the fear, all the doubt will fall behind you. God wants you to come out of the shadows today. And I believe there's a place that the enemy has put and draped over some of your light today, some of who you are today, and said, keep in shame, keep in doubt, keep in unbelief, keep in fear. And God's saying, that's not from me. I'm not a God of shadows. I'm not a God of darkness. Let your light shine. Even if you're going through a very tragic, difficult place today, Psalm 23:4 says, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. You are with me. In other words, another psalm says, you enlighten my darkness. In other words, if I'm even in a dark place physically, God can come and bring light to that place. I'm never to be a person of shadows. So all fear, all doubt, all shame is disappearing. It's time to come out. Thirdly, how do you keep your light burning bright? Third question today. How do you keep your light burning bright? What do you think about that? Well, Rachel, aren't you going to tell us? It's good. Yeah, let's talk about that a little bit. Jesus, what did he do? He's in a time where the lamps had to be fed with oil. The lights of that time had to be fed with oil, so they needed a constant refill. Once you ignited it, that's good, it's burning, it's bright, but it needed to have a supply of oil to it. Today, we have lights and they need to be connected to power sources, don't they? Power sources that are on. They need to be connected to a power source. In the same way, we need to maintain our connection with God. I'll get there. But a lamp with oil is what? It's like, it's an item, a form without substance. You can look all right on the outside. You can be like the five foolish virgins where they look like they're ready. They look like they're prepared on the outside. God fire on the altar fire. Go, Rachel. Keep the fire burning. Fire cheerleaders. Oh, come on, you guys. Wake up a little. No, but what does Jesus tell us? He tells us what? God tells us, you've been made now kings and priests in me. All believers. It was no longer for a select few. All believers, all followers of Christ, all who have been lit are now made kings and priests. And so now it becomes your responsibility to keep the fire going in your life, to never let it go out. Never quench the Holy Spirit's fire. Don't put it out. Luke 12:35 says, be dressed and ready for service. Keep your fires burning. Keep your lamps burning. Keep it burning. Responsibility, stewarding your own spiritual life. Your influence and visibility, what? They're a result of God within you. But our job is now to steward what God has put in us. Steward it. So my connection then with God sustains my light. He is my oil. He is my provision. He is everything I need. He feeds my faith. He feeds that. Some of us, I feel like we've lost connection, and God wants to reestablish connection today. He wants to reestablish power today in us. He wants to make your light brighter than it's ever been before. You need to start feeding yourself with the Word of God. His Word is what? A lamp to your feet and a light to your path. It actually brings illumination. It brings light to where you're supposed to go. You need to start eating what he gives you. Your diets have been off, and God wants to correct diets. And I don't know, I'm just throwing this out today, and I'm not talking about natural diets today, although if you need that, amen, it's holidays, bless you. But you need some spiritual diet. You've been feeding, and your feet, it's not actually feeding the fire inside of you. It's actually dousing it. You've been feeding off unbelief and shame and fear, and it's putting out. It's starting to flicker. That you know, twinkle, twinkle. I mean, God doesn't want you just to twinkle. He wants you to shine bright, burn bright. All right, put some gasoline on there. Lights, though, in this time that Jesus was giving this illustration, not only needed a refill of oil, but what did they need? They needed to be trimmed. The wick on the lamp would have to be trimmed. Now, why do you trim a wick? Well, if you don't trim, like, the wick of your candle, it burns inconsistently, and it burns more rapidly than it should. Also, if you don't trim your wick, you'll realize this too, is that something begins to occur with your candle or your lamp. It begins to emit smoke, and it begins to emit black soot if you don't trim your wick. How many know that God doesn't want his children of light emitting darkness? Any soot, any black smoke. So we got to let him trim off the dead things off of our lives. Not only fill us with oil, but then work to trim off where things don't belong anymore and cut those things off, and so that what we're emitting is pure and it's true light. Last question this morning, 4. What kind of impact is your light having? What kind of impact is your light having? Now, I know this is so simple, but I feel like it was so important to share today, is our light that's released is to be for good. The light that we release is for good. We read in verse 16, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your God in heaven. So the result of what my light is doing is that it's releasing good works, the good in the earth, and the result of that is that people are turning to God and glorifying him. That is how I know I'm doing light right. Your influence is to have a positive impact. Amen. I feel like the church is really getting this. I feel like she's starting to really understand this in new and fresh ways. That your influence is to have a positive impact. Your light is not for control, for manipulation, to put shame on people. Because again, it's not because I'm up here and now you're down there. No. I'm up here so I can give light so then you can turn to the one that we are facing, the one who is light. Now, I know some of us quote Ephesians 5, and we're like, I'm out to expose the evil works of darkness. This is what light does. And we get a big floodlight, and we flash it in people's faces, and we're like, ooh, I have light. And we, like, blind them, and they're, like, overwhelmed. And, you know, okay, we maybe not do that naturally, but you get the spiritual implications, you know? Yeah. I see what you're doing. I got light. You should be ashamed of yourselves. Ashamed. Bad people. I'm over here on the other side of the light. You know, and we do this weirdness to people. Just be honest. Come on. If you don't believe you do spiritual weirdness, you got to reread your Bible. Okay. Just really, just to remind yourself, we're all made of the same stuff. The point of light is to bring freedom and reconciliation. Say, hey, there may really be an issue there, but now you see it. And now it can be undone. And the reason that it's undone is you've turned to the source of all light. And you can walk in relationship with him. James 1, 16 and 17. Now, sorry, there's a typo on this slide, but that should be James chapter 1, not chapter 2. James 1, 16 and 17 says this. Do not be deceived, my beloved brethren. I like when it writes, my beloved, my sweet brothers and sisters, It's like, I love you so much. Don't be deceived. Don't wander. Don't go into the shadows. Don't move into another path. Put your focus on this. Verse 17, every good gift And every perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. What is this saying here? He's saying every good gift, the act of his giving is good. It's for our benefit. It's emphasis on the fact that receiving from God is a good thing. So if God has something for you, you want to get it. He has something for you today. You want that. I promise you, you want that. Why? Because it's good. Some of you are scared, I know. But that's because a shadow has come over you of doubt. Just like Adam and Eve, they went into the shadows of doubt, right? They're in a place of the light of God's love, and the shadow of doubt began to come in and question God's love, and then they went into hiding. God wants to remove that shadow of doubt. He wants to bring you to the place that you realize, if I receive from him, it's something good. And secondly, not only does he give good gifts, but he gives perfect gifts. So his active giving is good, but also the actual gifts that you receive, they are entire, they're complete, they're nothing lacking, they're not like some like lame thing, I don't know. They're just, emphasis is here on the quality of the gift which he gives. They're not a white elephant gift. Actual quality gift. They come from the one, the gifts come from the one who, what did he do? When he created, he made everything good. He would make it and then he would stand back and like, that's good. And then he would make the animals and he'd be like, that's good. And then I'm getting it out of order, whatever. He'd make water and he'd be like, that's good. And he'd make the mountains, that's good. Those fish, oh my gosh, those are good. Those are good. That's good. That's good. And then he made you and he's like, oh, that's very good. So the one that created everything he made was good. What does he want to do? What he wants to give you is everything he gives you is what? Good. Thank you, Dustin. You got it. Good. It's good. So this comes from the Father of lights. That picture. Scripture says, actually, I have so many scriptures in my head, it's crazy right now, but 1 John, it says, in him dwells no darkness, right? He is light. The Father of lights with whom, this basically says the same thing, no variation or shadow of turning. So no matter which direction he turns, there's no darkness. Oh, I'm seeing your bad side today. Well, his bad side is still light. Can you put up the next picture? Of the light. Light has no shadow. No matter which way it turns, it has no shadow. And this is what it's saying of God. No matter which way it turns, no matter what comes to try to eclipse that, there is no darkness. It's only good. Good he has for you. Good he has for you. Just as he is generous, a good giving father, we are to have the same quality of light in this world that they may see. Shine, arise, shine, shine, so they may see your good works. Good, emphasis on good, and glorify your Father in heaven to the same quality of light. Your works, then, are our works to draw people closer to Christ and not away from him. That's how you know you're shining right. So as we close this morning, I just want to read from the message paraphrase, the same verses, the worship team can come. It says in verse 14 and 16, it says, here's another way to put it. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept. We're going public with this, as public as a city on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a light stand. Now that I put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up with God, this generous Father in heaven. So as we go to a response time this morning, I just want to, again, consider these four questions with our hearts. First question I had today was, have you been lit? Have you allowed God to come into your heart and light your faith, put your faith in him, your trust in him, to ignite a fire you were meant for, to ignite, come alive in him, like awakening from the dead, awakening from sleep, from that place of slumber, spiritual slumber. He wants you to awaken to his goodness. And if you haven't been lit this morning, we want to pray for you. Our team is going to join us. Actually, if everybody could stand to their feet this morning, our prayer team can go ahead and come as well. Pastor John is here in this nice, lovely, bright orange shirt, and I'll be down here in a moment as well. And we want to pray with you. This is the greatest gift that you could ever receive. It's the gift of the light of life coming to you. Secondly, the question I had was, where is your light set? What places are you influencing? Where are areas maybe in your life that you need to come out of the shadows? Maybe something has come to try to eclipse that light or put it out or dim it. We need to recognize those things. Thirdly, how are you keeping your light bright? What are you doing to not just sustain, but to build the fire that lives in you? Even as we go into worship, I want you to think about things. For those of you who are already believers, I want you to think about practical things that you can do this week to add fuel to your fire. What can you do as a priest to add to what God has put in you to make it shine brighter? For some of us, that might be a removing of things. Some of us, that might be a refueling, another connection point with God that we've been missing out on. And then lastly, what kind of impact is your light having? I feel like as a church, and especially for those that have been following Christ for a longer period of time, it's good to reflect on the influence we're having. It's good to check ourselves and be like, is what I'm releasing in this world, is it drawing people closer to Christ? Is it having a positive impact? Is it good works here? And if not, what do I need to change? What do I need to adjust? So as we pray this morning, those are the four areas I'd love for you to consider and to pray into. And Lord, I just thank you for your word today, that it's light to us. Lord, and I pray that you do something that only you can do, is that illuminate the inside, where we need something to catch today. Blow, Holy Spirit, so it won't just be an ember, but it would be a burning flame. Lord, for those of us that need a touch from you and a connection to you, God, a fresh connection, I pray that you'd bring that fuel in. Holy Spirit, you bring the oil that's necessary. God, remove shadows of doubt and of shame and of fear today. Let your people know that you're never ashamed to be their God. Lord, I pray that we use the place that you placed, the position you placed us in, as a positive influence in our world. That we would stand back and we would evaluate and say, okay, am I having a positive influence in my family, in my city, in this world? God, we don't want to be just positive where we can't see, but we want to be positive right here in our local region, our local area. And I pray as this new season comes, Lord, that we be more effective as your salt and your light in the earth. In your name I pray. Amen.